Hello, and welcome to Temporary Tenants Podcast. I'm your host, Cody Nunes. I'm currently church planting in the north of Scotland in a town called Aberdeen. On my journey to church planting, I have gained over 10 years experience in different roles in ministry, from janitor to co-pastor and all the roles in between. My wife and I moved to Scotland to put to practice all that we had learned and plant a church. When I was looking for a podcast on church planting, I found a few. Though being a little bit of a tech nerd and always wanting to do a podcast, I saw an opportunity to bring my two loves together, church planting and podcasting. This podcast is going to be specifically talking about church planting, missions, and ministries. I will be talking to people who have done it before in the hopes of educating myself and hopefully you listeners along the way. This podcast, though, isn't only for the church planter or the person thinking about planting a church. This is for anyone involved in ministry. Hearing the stories of other men and women of faith should compel and encourage us to continue pressing on in our ministries and hopefully will spring forth a new wave of church planters. So join me as we listen, learn, and grow from those who have gone before here on Temporary Tenants. All right, well, I have Greg Nettle here, president of Stadia Church Planting Network. Greg, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with me today. I so appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to talk with me about this very important subject that is church planting.
Yeah, you know, I think it's one of the most important subjects, Cody, and it's an absolute honor to be on with you. So excited about what you're doing over in Scotland, man. It's a delight for me to be with you.
Basically, the concept of this program is talking about church planting, the nuances of it, and really just getting to know the stories of church planters. A lot of the time, they are the silent aspect of ministry, and so we want to highlight them, we want to talk about them. I'm hoping to learn from people who have done it before, from presidents and CEOs of organizations like yours that are doing the work of supporting, of training church planters. And so really my first question for you, Greg, is how did you get involved with church planting?
Yeah, so it was crazy, Cody. I was 23 years old, single, when I planted my first church. And it literally was a crystal clear call of God, probably the most crystal clear call of God I've ever had in my life to plant a church of all the crazy things. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and I was living with my parents. I'd finished Bible college and was a youth pastor and was invited to go on a team with Team Expansion of college students over to Ireland, to Dublin, Ireland. And the problem was they would go over for a summer and then they would leave. And so any of the work they had done, you'd just be leaving the people without a local church to be part of. And so I started praying through staying. And much to my surprise, God, I believe, called me to stay when that team left. And so it was a pretty traumatic experience for me. As you can imagine, I'm 23 years old. I lead this team of, I don't know, there were probably 12 college students. We're in Dublin for the summer together, 3 months, great summer. And then I go to the airport with them, put them on an airport and watch them fly back to the United States. And I stay by myself in Ireland to begin start planting this church.
So going from the cultural context of where you grew up, so maybe answering the question of what was that? And then transitioning into a cross-cultural context of church planting.
Yeah. So first of all, let me say, as I look back on it now, I'm wondering when we say yes to God, and I guess that would be my, if I had anything to say to anyone listening to this podcast and engaged in this, it's always say yes to God. And I often say it's usually not easy. It's often painful, but it's always good. And so my next couple of years in Ireland planting that church were some of the most difficult of my entire life. They were absolutely some of the most foundational in learning how to exegete a culture, in learning personal evangelism, in learning what it means to go through dark nights of the soul and trust God and have faith in God. And so it's when we say yes to God, it's often not even about what he wants to do through us, but rather what he wants to do in us. Mm-hmm. And I look back to that first church planting experience and think, man, I think God just wanted to mold the character of young Greg Nettle at that time more than anything else.
Absolutely. So what was your experience from the time that you decided to stick around, from when you said yes to God and you stayed? How did you find your footing in that culture, being American in an Irish culture? It's very different. And then how did you utilize maybe some of the tools that God was shaping in you to advance the gospel and really start your church?
Yeah. So first of all, it meant that I was in the city of Dublin. So I had the opportunity to start, you know, I would go to the same coffee shop every single morning and start engaging with people there. It's much the way church planters, we do it in the United States now today in building a launch team. We frequent the same coffee shops. I would go to the park at 5 o'clock every evening, the local park, and hang out around the guys playing soccer until finally, after a week, they invited the terrible American to join them and play soccer. And they let me play keeper to start with so I wouldn't injure any of them, in the game. But eventually I became friends with them, and I'll never forget that they invited me to the pub with them after a couple of weeks of playing soccer with them, which was a huge breakthrough. And I said, okay, but first let me go home and I'm going to stop at my flat and change my pants. And they all started laughing because pants in the Irish culture is underwear. And I soon learned I need to go change my trousers or my shorts, not my pants. It was like just consistently doing those kinds of things, just hanging and building relationships and investing in people. It was a slow process, but eventually I think we started a small gathering on Sunday evenings after about, I want to say I'd been there by myself, probably 6 months, with about 9 people that gathered for just a small Bible study and spiritual discussions. And just to be real transparent, Cody, it was just wildly successful, right? After 2 years, I think we had 12 people. And but I made that joke once in a group of European church planters and almost instantly regretted it, because what I realized is actually in that culture that was successful at that time, it's a very hard field to plow. I didn't know that. I thought I'd go over and be the next mega church in Dublin, Ireland in 2 years. How naive was that? And so you see what God was breaking up in Greg Nettle and teaching me about what it means to church plant, and to be able to celebrate the individual victories and to understand planters like yourself. And I have no idea what's going on with your church plant right now, but understanding in any context how difficult and challenging it can be and what the process can be like.
Absolutely. I guess my next question would be, how did that experience shape your identity as a church planter, and how has that progressed in this future context that you find yourself in now?
So I came back to the States because I ran out of money in Ireland. I did so many things wrong, Cody. I have no idea, 50 supporters, let's say, while I was in Ireland, many of them $10 and $20 a month. I had my largest church support was $100 a month. And so after 2 years, when the commitments ran out and I needed to re-up all the commitments, for good or for bad, I just didn't have it in me to, it was a terrible model financially. And so some friends came over and they ended up taking over the church that I had started, which was great, in Dublin. And I moved back to the States and began to lead a church of about 100 at that time, which would eventually become the River Tree Christian Church movement and would then go on to plant many churches through that church. But what my church planting experience did was brought me back to the States with the mindset of a church planter, the ability to exegete a culture once again and say, okay, this is the basics of what we need to do, and this is how we reach people. The difference today is that there are so many multimodalities, right, in church planting. And so I look back now and go, gosh, if I were looking at Ireland now, I'd be looking at, you know, a micro church movement. I don't think I would ever look at what I was trying to do at that time, which was more the launch large and get the big launch team going. It didn't work. And so I inadvertently stumbled upon the micro church movement. But I would go and train with intentionality of that now. The ability to use the digital landscape now. There are so many opportunities to us today, right, Cody, that allow us to be more effective as church planters. And so I would encourage people, that in whatever culture you're going into, wherever it is, look at the modality. Don't go in with a preconceived modality of church planting, but in as you understand whatever cultural context, whatever geographic context, whatever technological context the people have that you're going into, you examine all of those and you pray through those and you ask God to form the right modality of church planting before you go in with your own preconceived modality.
Looking at those different methods and models of the micro movement, a large scale launch, those sorts of things, how would you evaluate that model? How would you apply like that mindset of this is the model that would be best suited for this context?
Yeah, and so it's really different. I think we have to be really careful when we're talking about if I'm going into Edinburgh, for instance, if I'm going in with a team or have the ability, the larger financial backing, I could look at a large launch model. If I'm going in with my wife and I now and maybe one other couple, now I'm looking probably more at a micro multiplication movement, which I'm watching be used now around the globe much more effectively than launch large. It would probably be only in the European context, I think, that I would even go in as a U.S. church planter these days. With Stadia now, when we plant globally, we only use indigenous church planters, period. And so that helps. It didn't help that I was a dark-skinned guy from the United States planting a church that everybody thought was a cult at that time in Dublin, Ireland. I had a lot of barriers to overcome before I could even begin to talk about what a modality of church or a methodology of church planting. And so I think we have to be really careful. It can be really romantic to say, I'm going to go plant a church in Dublin, Ireland. That's a pretty cool thing. And the reality of it, it's very painful, very difficult. It's not romantic at all most of the time. Now, it's joyful. I wouldn't trade my experience for the world. And I think that God did some wonderful things there and transformed some lives in some pretty profound ways. But I think you have to go into it eyes wide open and knowing that it's going to be a long slog of work to do what you're doing in Scotland in the European context. Whereas if I'm going into a United States context, now I'm looking at, oh my gosh, we had a church planter who was living in Michigan, planting in Columbus, Ohio, and he had 80 people on his launch team in Columbus, Ohio before he and his wife ever moved to Columbus, Ohio. And they did that all through digital technology. I drove down to his launch day opening and celebrated with them. It was more than 300 people on launch day. That's one method that worked, but that works in the United States context where you have the ability to use technology to build a launch team before you ever destinate, develop that launch team before you ever actually launch a weekend gathering. But then on the other hand, I watch up in Cleveland, we just had a church planting, Umar Vargas, who's an amazing Hispanic woman leader who just launched bivocationally. And I watched her and she's doing it on what I consider a shoestring budget in this Hispanic area of Cleveland and having massive success. She's bivocational, though she doesn't take personally a salary from the church at all. And she's having incredible success up here in Cleveland right now in a bivocational model of church planting. And she, this is the beautiful thing, she never has any intention of going full time as the senior church pastor. She plans a replication model and they're reaching 70 plus people now in their first expression of church. And they're already raising up new church planters to go out off from that church to be sent and plant more churches. So I think we have really exciting opportunities now without being locked into one single modality of church planting.
Absolutely. I mean, just the sheer fact that most people now, because of the pandemic, obviously there are regressive things that happened and we can all see them, but there were some amazing things that happened. The total boom of a technology as far as even us communicating right now over Zoom, this is something that was used, but not used as much as it is now. And to have that and be able to use that for the glorification, magnification, and expansion of God's kingdom is massive. It's absolutely massive.
I was talking recently to a friend of mine. He's the CEO of one of the largest tech companies on the planet, literally. And he is a huge supporter of church planting and advocate for church planting. And anytime I'm with him, I spend at least a half an hour talking about the future of technology because he always keeps me informed on what's coming. And so we think about the digital opportunities, and Zoom's a big deal. And when we think about just our smartphones, and I think about, my gosh, how much has the smartphone changed our lives? It's been life transforming. For better, for worse, doesn't matter. It's been life transforming for all of us and for the majority of people on the planet. In fact, we're just a few years out now when I believe the number is 80% of the people on the planet will have smartphone technology in their hand. So it's going to be the vast majority of the world. But here's the thing you recently told me that just blew me away when we think about the implications of technology and especially for spreading the gospel and church planting. He said that virtual reality, which some of us kind of mess around with, I've got my Oculus glasses and we have several virtual reality church planters now that we're working with. What seemed so futuristic and science fiction a few years ago is actually working now. But here's what this guy in technology told me. He said that five years from now, virtual reality technology will transform our lives in the same way the smartphone has transformed our lives. So think about that, because smartphones have transformed us forever. In 5 years or less, he said, virtual reality will do the same for our lives because the technology, the bandwidth, everything is getting, you know, there's no more latency with 5G, 6G's, you know, being developed right now. So for instance, I'm up here, I'm a huge Cleveland Browns fan, much to my sadness, but I am. And so my dad, though, is 85. My dad's a huge Cleveland Browns fan, but my dad can't go with me to a game live anymore because he can't walk up the stairs at a Browns stadium. But in the near future, because if you watch where cell towers are being built and so forth, they're being built around sports stadiums. And there's a reason for that. It's intentional. My dad and I'll be able to call my dad and say, Dad, let's go to the Browns game this coming Sunday. And, you know, well, Greg, I can't. I'd love to, but I can't, you know. And no. You know, those glasses, and now they're not the big boxy things like Oculus, but there'll be some easy little thing. I said, you just put those on, and I bought us tickets for the 50-yard line, and my dad and I will be able to, I'll sit in Cleveland, he'll sit where he lives on his couch, we'll put our glasses on, and we'll be able to sit on the 50-yard line together, hear the full interaction of the crowd, watch the game from great seats, and my dad and I will be able to sit beside each other in that stadium and interact with each other and converse. It will be that real. And so then we look at that technology, and I think we have to ask, it's imperative for us, the question is, what can that do for church planting? And I know that, so before pre-pandemic, if you go back, there were people, one of the things we struggled with was people, well, is digital church real church? And then it becomes necessity. And so the theological arguments go out the window and everybody just does it because it's necessity. And of course it's real church and life transformation is taking place. And my personal philosophy is digital world matters, but if what we profess in our digital faith isn't lived out in our physical lives, then it's not real, okay? Mm. However, if it is lived out in our real lives, day-to-day lives, and as we follow Jesus, then I would say, yes, it's an absolute legitimate expression of church and Christianity. But when you think about virtual reality, who are the entrepreneurs now? There's a few out there, right? And I'm just saying, we've got to look at all of that now. God's opening up, I think, one of the most opportune times in the history of the world. 8 billion people on this planet. I was thinking about this just in 60 years. So I just turned 60, Cody. And in the 60 years of my lifetime, global population has gone from 3 billion to 8 billion people. In my lifetime, 3 billion to 8 billion. U.S. population has gone from about 150 million. It's more than doubled in my lifetime. Think about all the implications of that. But think about the responsibility we have then as followers of Jesus to reach the people that God deeply and desperately loves. And then the opportunities that we now have from certainly a local expression where I might in my community begin a church, but also in digital expression like you're using right now to reach people with the good news of Jesus.
I love that. And that actually covers my next question of why. I think this is a question that a lot of people maybe don't ask out loud, but maybe think when somebody says, hey, I'm planting a church. Would you like to support me prayerfully, financially, be involved? That question always is in the back of our mind. Why do we need more churches?
Yeah, so let me speak to the United States first. All the latest data is coming out, and it's been out for a couple of years now. For about 2 decades in the United States, we've been planting new church startups that we can identify. We've been planting about 3,000 churches a year in the United States for 2 decades, and it's been that same logjam. And the reality is every study that's come out says we need to be planting more than at least 8,000 churches a year just to stay even with the growth of population in the United States and the attrition, the closing down of churches in the United States. And to actually tip that in a positive direction, we need to be starting new churches about 10,000 per year. And so, you know, so there are a couple of things that we started looking at Stadia. One is we've completely overhauled all of our systems and processes in the last few years to make them multimodal and multiracial friendly, multicultural friendly, all focused on the next generation. What's it mean with collective impact where, you know, so for Stadia, if you're planting with Stadia, Cody, you get all of our systems and processes for free. Literally, I'm not joking about that. No strings attached to the church planter ever. And we did that so that we could work with more and more organizations in collective impact, and it'll give a higher success rate, more support for the church planters who are the actual heroes. But so how do we work together? Because if we don't work together, those numbers, it's a losing battle. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at the global context, when we look at South America, for instance, where the churches are being started much more rapidly than in the United States, they're multiplying more rapidly. When you look at our work in Africa, that's growing like crazy. India, insane. The multiplication movements that are happening there, it's absolutely a move of God. It's beautiful. And so now, when we look at global work, and I think we have to look at church planting as worldwide, it's not what can the United States bring necessarily to church planting around the world, but rather what can the world bring to United States church planting? And how can we collectively work together and learn from one another for best practices, systems, and processes, and quit assuming that we white guys have all the answers? Because the reality is we're not succeeding. And it doesn't mean we're doing everything wrong. We celebrate amazing stuff that's going on. But the reality is, my goodness, I so deeply want to learn from our brothers and sisters of color and different cultures and geographies around the world. And so the key is we're fighting an uphill battle in the United States when we say we're going to plant a church, because you're right. Everybody says, wait a second, there's churches closing everywhere. There's a church on every corner. And so you have to be able to have that 5 minute, hey, here's really the state of what's going on in the United States with the church and with Christianity. When we talk about global church planting in the United States, it's a much easier sell, right? Because if I talk about planting in Scotland, for instance, people go, oh my gosh, yeah, they need churches in Scotland, because it's still not easy. I recognize that. But people know it's a post-Christian culture. They know there's such a desperate need. You talk about planting churches in Africa or in impoverished countries, there's just a more natural proclivity to say yes to church planting.
Yeah. And honestly, I've found it ties a tight tension between either people understanding that there's a post-Christian, you know, I would even say like further than secularism in the context that I find myself in, right? Yeah. Where some people will understand that, and then others will be like, well, you're just on vacation. You're frolicking through the Highlands. you're running around with a sword and enjoying the Scottish scenery. And I'm just like, so that is a misconception. But I absolutely agree with what you're saying as far as understanding that we as Americans, we've limited ourselves historically in thinking that we know what's best always, and that we're always on the cutting edge of every discovery, every ideology, every methodology. And so we end up crippling ourselves because those outside voices, those beautiful outside voices of different cultural contexts and different studies, not allowing those voices to be heard because we're so consumed by our own identity or our own philosophy of church planting.
Well, and I think, Cody, that even it's a posture of superiority. Mm. We don't even recognize it most of the time. I don't, even when I'm going into situations. And so I guess I would encourage all of our listeners, every church planter, whatever context you're going into, man, I wish I would have known this a lot more in my younger days, but I certainly know it now and would encourage every church planter is always enter every situation with a posture of learning. And so you come into the context, and my deal is not to change things. It's not to show you the right way. It's to learn from you. And in that process of learning, that allows us to engage in relationship. And then for me to share the good news of how Jesus has changed my life. And then hopefully to have that engaging conversation about what it means to be part of a church and so forth. But that posture, that's a game changer.
Oh, absolutely. I would say 100% is a game changer because it's not just a posture of learning. It's a posture of humility. It's a posture of Christ. It's exemplifying Christ in all things, not just on a Sunday morning or via a worship service or an expression of church, but it's the way that you conduct yourselves within a community and within a culture is submitting to the fact that you are not the creator of that culture. So talking about Stadia, I want to get into Stadia because I went through your website, listened to some of your podcasts, and consumed some of what Stadia is, but I want you to explain the vision for Stadia. You have a statement that I absolutely love, but I want you to unpack for our listeners who maybe don't know so much about Stadia.
I'm guessing the statement is our vision statement, which I absolutely love because I think it did come straight from God. And so that's our vision is for every child to have a church. And so what that means is, Cody, we want to help you start new, thriving, growing, multiplying churches for the next generation. That's really what Stadia does. And so when we talk about every child having a church, when we talk about the next generation, we're working from a foundation that today's church is not enough. Mm-hmm. And that might sound really negative, but it's not. I'm grateful for the church that God allowed me to be part of growing up. But the reality is today's church just isn't enough. There's not enough churches. And the churches that we have today aren't going to be enough for the next generation. They're going to look just like what we did when we were younger and say, wait, church is boring. It's non-engaging. My son, who's a freshman in high school this year, he's part of our local church here in Cleveland, but his relationships and context are way more online now than they are offline. It's insane how many friends and relationships he sustains in the gaming world, on Discord, on all these other different platforms. And so I think about that for the future and for the next generation and how we're going to reach the next generation with the good news of Jesus Christ and incorporate them into a local global church. And I think we have to look at the digital opportunities there because he's a digital native, which I'm not. It's a learned expression for me. And so at Stadia now, we're looking at all these different modalities. When you go through our discovery process as a planter, you're going to come in and discover not only how am I wired, but what's my wiring for a particular type of church. So think about this, Cody, in the traditional launch large model, which in the United States, if you're starting a church up here in Cleveland in the launch large model where you're going to go full time, you're looking at $600,000 to $800,000 to launch that church. If we're out in the San Francisco Bay Area, you're looking at $2 million plus to launch a launch large church. First of all, we need those churches, but it's certainly not scalable. Where do the resources, financial resources come for that model? And to be a church planter in that model, you have to be able to go out and raise $2 million to plant a church. And so there's a certain group of leaders that are going to be able to do that or have that skill set or even network around them where they can do that. But there's not going to be very many. But if we're looking at a rapidly growing micro church model where you're going to lead 30 people at a time and multiply it, now there's a whole different set of leaders that are wired to do that. And they don't have to stand in front of a church of 1,000 people and preach, and they don't have to go raise millions of dollars, but they can raise enough money to be bivocational and get their church launched and multiply it and teach a group of 30 people in their home. And they're really good at discipling and apprenticing leaders that are going to multiply. That's a different leadership set. So in our discovery process, you define that. Or maybe, which I love, you discover, you know what? I'm just going to use Cody's teachings from his gatherings, and I'm going to start a digital gathering because I'm really not wired to be a Bible teacher, and I'm just going to get Cody's teachings. He's going to give me permission, and I'm going to be the pastor to this online group of Discord gamers that we've started and use Cody's teachings. Then we're going to talk about Cody's teachings afterwards online, and that's how I'm going to, and I can do that. And so for me now to launch a church like that, you know what? Your financial resources, you need a smartphone and a plan. That's it. You don't need $1 million to launch. And so what if we had a whole army, literally, of young people? I hate using that metaphor, but we had a whole group of young people that with their smartphones said, we're going to go after and we're just going to try to reach 30 people with the gospel and multiply from there with no budget whatsoever. And I think that's the future. And then think about what could be released for the kingdom gospel. Because if you get, let's say you have the first 1 million-person church that's just been started on smartphones and different gaming platforms around the world, and you don't have to raise money for staff or for buildings, but all these young people have money and they believe in the causes of the gospel. And so now you say, we are going to collect an offering, and here's where you send the money online, and we have great accountability in place. And all of that money is going to be used to transform a village in Africa. We're going to go in and we're going to start 5 water wells, and we're going to sponsor all the children, and there's going to be church planter training in Africa. And in just one offering from all those people, now you can transform an entire cityscape with those financial resources. I just think the possibilities are endless. And so if you come back to Stadia, one of the things we do in innovation and research and development is always trying to learn from guys like you, Cody, who are out there on the cutting edge and saying, what are your best practices? How can we share those for free with everyone else to reach the next generation? So that's really what Stadia is about.
Oh, wow. That's absolutely amazing. Cultivate is our primary sponsor here at Temporary Attendance. And so we have Pastor Nick Cady, who is going to explain what Cultivate is and how we can get involved. So here is Pastor Nick.
The gospel is the hope of the world, and the world needs more gospel-centered churches. That is why the Cultivate Church Planter Training Program exists. At Calvary Global Network, we are standing on the shoulders of those who have come before us and wanting to use what God has given us to encourage and equip the next generation of church planters. We have created the resources and infrastructure to support 1,000 church plants over the next 10 years. These resources are personal, practical, and pastoral, and they are designed to prepare you over the course of 6 to 24 months to lead a gospel-centered community wherever God has called you. Our global team of mentors and coaches have thousands of hours of experience planting and pastoring churches around the world, and we are here to support you as you serve others in the work of church planting. For more information and to get started, visit calvaryglobalnetwork.com/cultivate, and we look forward to welcoming you into this global family of churches planting churches.
So just taking it back from maybe the vision of digital church, which I think is incredible, and I think that absolutely is something that we need to be paying attention to and giving our eye to. But as far as local church and maybe local church planting, for you at Stadia, you guys have people coming in and wanting to plant local, maybe not digital, but analog churches, we'll call them. So for that, how does Stadia go through and really check out the viability of the church planter and the location?
Yeah, so let me just be really clear about this, because I get caught up in the future because I love living there mentally about what God's doing. So Stadia helped start 456 new churches throughout the United States and around the world last year, okay? Of those 456 churches, 446 were local physical churches, okay? So when I'm talking about digital, it's not like we're starting 400 digital churches. I hope we do next year, but that will be in conjunction with all of the physical and digital which are digital and physical, of course, church plants. And so when it comes to virtually all of our church planting at this point is still in the physical realm, in the analog realm. And so that would be to help you discover the modality areas where when you go through our discovery process, we may recommend and say, hey, you need to probably get a couple theological classes under your belt here because you got really screwy theology in this area. And we'd make those recommendations and so forth. Or sometimes we might say, hey, we want you to go spend a year with Cody in Scotland. He's got the best thing going over there for what you're looking at. And it'd be worth your time before you go plant to go spend a year with Cody. And so because we have enough network and ties now, we can make those kind of recommendations all around the world. My wife and I recently moved right into the city of Cleveland from our white suburbs because we knew that we needed to live in the midst of racial diversity in a much deeper way for God to bring about his sanctification process in our lives. It was time for us to get out of our white bubble culture, if you will, and to engage in God's Revelation 7 culture of all the tribes of the world. And so we may say to someone, hey, you're going to go plant in a multicultural situation, but you've lived where I lived in the suburbs your whole life in white culture. Well, it'd probably be good for you to go live for a year in Cleveland before you start planting a church in a multicultural place and just to learn about what it means to live and what we can learn from other cultures in that section. So we would have all of that kind of, hey, maybe you're ready to go. You're ready to rock and roll. It's great. But then we might say, hey, here's what we think would help you have the most success prior to actually planting a church. We have all kinds of training. And so Cody, like our financial, because for so many planters, the funding of their plant is such a huge deal, regardless of their planting bivocational or launch large or whatever, there usually is funding involved. And so we give them financial training, be it in the management of finances. We provide all of their back office and HR and all of that for planters. But here's how you fundraise. Here's the practical steps. Everybody in the Plants with Stadia gets a coach to help them along the way. They get put in cohorts with people who are similar to them in that context to walk, because we found that it's information is great, but from planting a church, relationships are so much more important. People that are actually on the journey with you. And so if we can get you with other people who are walking through that journey with you, we found that to be one of the most valuable possible things. And of course, digital age allows that a lot more because you can have a weekly Zoom call like this with planters. Oh, maybe they're not in Scotland, but maybe they are in Dublin. Maybe they are in Amsterdam. And it's not identical, but it's similar situations. And you're meeting once a week. I just say for me, when I was planning in Dublin, if I would have had that, it would have been life-changing and life-giving. And so the idea is, how can we leverage relationships and information and encouragement for as many church planters as possible? And so we would help you do that. We would help you discover that whole process for you.
I just have one final question, which I'm hoping will expand into a few different areas. But for you as president of Stadia, when you talk to somebody who's like, hey, I'm thinking about this, this is something that I'm stepping into, just putting my toes in the water, what's some advice that you encourage them in learning more about church planting or even giving them some advice and direction on that calling? Because it's a large calling and it's a large ask of people.
So first of all, I would encourage them and say, because I'm anyone that's considering starting a new church in whatever expression it is, I'm so proud of them, right? Because it's such a noble calling by God to have that calling. And it's often not looked on as noble in our world. And that's okay. I just think people need to know that I think God smiles on church planters. And I think whenever you care about the things that are close to the heart of God, people which we know are people who are far from God, the next generation, and certainly his bride, the local church, you're gonna have God's favor all over you. And I always wanna encourage people in that direction. And then to say, always say yes to God. And when I was 23, I think about it now, my daughter's 23, And she's actually a worship leader at a church plant. And I'm so incredibly proud of her. But if she came today and said, hey, Dad, I'm moving to Ireland by myself to plant a church, I'd be like, are you out of your mind? And I can't imagine what my parents thought when I was 23 and said, yeah, Mom, Dad, I'm moving to Ireland and planting a church. Yeah, who's with? Well, I'm going to be by myself after the team leaves. And it's insane. But I'm so glad I said yes to God. And I wouldn't change it for the world. No, I personally wouldn't let anyone do what I did. If you came to me now, I'd say, no, we're going to put a team together around you. We're going to make sure this happens. Make sure you have the safety and product, all those things now. But the key is, you know, always say yes to God. And then I would say, look, go to, you know, so I'm very familiar with Stadia. Go to stadiachurchplanting.org, hit it on the website, click on, I think the button says, you're thinking about planting a church or starting a church, click on that. And it's absolutely incredible now what you can walk through. There's no threat because you're not interacting with anyone but yourself. But you start taking some analysis things to see how you're wired, and it'll give you feedback. And then it'll come back and say, okay, if you're still interested here, click here. This is the next step. And then it might give you some videos to watch about different things. And at any point, you can actually contact. There'll be a button that'll say, I want to talk to someone from Stadia. And we'll go to that. But it's also a very safe place to explore if you're not ready to talk to Stadia yet, but you just want to discover some things about yourself. And so I think that's a very easy way to do it. And then I would also say, man, get in touch with some other followers of Jesus that you really trust and start praying about it with them. Tell them what you're thinking about, the promptings you're feeling, why. Now, when we were making our move into Cleveland, it's fascinating because certain followers of Jesus would say, man, that sounds right on target for your family and what God's calling you to do. And so you have to make sure that you have committed followers of Jesus when you're talking about making that kind of a leap. Because if you have real Christians who really aren't highly committed to following Jesus or saying yes to Jesus, they might say, that just sounds stupid. And no, think about the financial risks you're taking. Think about the risks to your kids. Yeah, there are those risks and you need to be aware of them. But man, I want committed followers of Jesus around me praying through these decisions and helping me discern the will of God. And so I would gather a small group around me to share that journey of exploration with me.
I'm so glad and so honored that you took the time to meet with me and discuss this highly important topic of church planting. I'm hoping that we can maybe talk again, maybe more when you guys have explored or seen some of the fruit of the digital, going from analog to digital, and more of that expression. I would love to get into the nuances of that with you and everything, but thank you so much for taking the time.
Cody, let's have you on the Church Planting Podcast, and because I want to learn from you this next time, man. Honor. I look forward to talking with you soon, Cody. Thanks, man.
Thank you. You have been listening to Temporary Tenants. I would like to thank Greg Nettle for being on the show today and sharing with us his experience in church planting and all the amazing things that he and Stadia are doing in church planting. If you would like to get in touch with me or would like to know more about Cultivate, you can email me at temporarytenant@calvarychapel.com. I hope that this conversation blessed you, and I hope that it expanded our vantage point of how we view church planting and what the future of church planting could look like. Our next guest is Pastor Bruce Zachary. He has been involved in Calvary Chapel's church planting for a number of years, as well as writing Calvary Chapel's church planting program. He also is one of the leaders in CGN's Cultivate program. I'm looking forward to our conversation about church planting, missions, and ministry, and his experience, and I hope that we can listen and learn and grow from the stories and experiences of Bruce and apply them to our lives today. Until then, I hope that you continue to glorify and magnify the Lord in whatever season you find yourself in.